Rodriguez pass to Kai Bowen? Good evening, welcome caller. Good evening, welcome to the call. Good evening, welcome to the call. Yes, good evening, welcome to call.
Good evening, this is Ann. How you all doing?
Hey, Ann.
All
right,
Ann.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Sister Maxwell.
Oh, good evening. How are you?
We are doing well today. Lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Yes,
he
is.
He will not suffer our feet to be moved. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Pastor Kyrie, you're supposed to be on tonight, right?
Yes, sir. He is. I'm going to reach out to him. He and I spoke earlier today.
Versus Milton. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Maddie Freeman.
Good evening, Sister Maddie Freeman. How am I cookie doing?
Well, pretty good. Cliff, how are you? How are everybody else doing, too?
Good evening.
Maddie Freeman had those little girls looking like precious little angels, Sonny. They were the prettiest little things.
Thank you, brother.
They were. They just shined with prettiness.
Good evening. Welcome, Carlos. Good evening.
My name is Felicia
Dozier.
Okay, Pastor
Kyle. Hey, Felicia.
Hi.
Hey. That's my friend from El Paso, everybody.
From Texas.
Yes.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome.
Sorry about your husband.
Well, thank you. It's been hard.
No, I can imagine.
All right. It is 7:05 p.m. We're about to begin our session, what's in the Word this evening. So, today's date is October the 8th, 2024. We are ready for our walk in the Word. I wish to welcome you all to the three T's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19. On behalf of Gates of Prayer, Tabernacle, Gates, Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Out of the Box Ministries, Enlightenment Ministries, and Thursday in the Scriptures by Minister Midwood Hill, we welcome you to our Walk in the Word. We want to begin our session this evening with a prayer from Deacon Everett Henderson, followed by a song. And then we will have our walk in the Word. Deacon Percolator, we're ready.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. God, we come looking to you because you are God, the creator of all things. We glorify you. We praise you, God, because you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things, God. We praise you and we worship you, God, because you are omnipotent. You are all-powerful. God, we seek you to walk with us on this journey of life because you give us peace knowing that you are omnipresent. You're with us. And Father God, we glorify you and we say hallelujah unto your name because you are the supreme ruler of this world because you're sovereign. And God, we come to realize and understand on this journey of life that we are nothing without you. God, we need you.
Yes.
So we come tonight, God, to study your word, seeking you. We seek understanding as we look into your word because your word tells us in all our getting, we are to get understanding. And we need understanding, God, because we live in a world that you have created to be so perfect. But sin found its way into the mindset of our foreparents, Adam and Eve. And sin has been running rapid ever since. Sin finds its way and creeps its way into our lives in many ways, through thoughts, through deeds. And, Lord, we need to be equipped to know how to handle the evils of this world. So, Lord, as we sit at this table tonight under the teaching of your Holy Spirit, I'm asking, God, first of all, will you forgive us of our sins and remove us from all our iniquities. And we ask, Lord, that you will create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit so that our minds and hearts will be clear and that they will be focused on hearing from you tonight. So, Lord, we lay our sins before you. We cast our cares before you. And we seek now that you could take control of our mindset, that we will not only just hear your word being spoken to us, but we listen closely and attentively. I ask you anoint our minds that we will not only recall your word, but we will retain it in our hearts. So when we go back out into this world after we disconnect from this line, that we will be even stronger men and women of you, God, that we will be better equipped to handle the trials and tribulations, that we will respond by the guidance of your Holy Spirit and not respond by our own knowledge or respond by our naturalist, but respond by the guidance of your Holy Spirit. God, we are so grateful that you've looked past our faults. We're so grateful for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and your patience and your peace. We're so grateful that you have given us ministers, you've given us pastors, you've given us apostles, you've given us teachers of the word of gospel who bring forth your word with simplicity and with understanding. So as we sit up under the teaching of the Holy Spirit that we're moving the mind of Pastor Kuiper and Dr. Singleton, I pray, Father God, that you will use them to proclaim your gospel. I pray, God, for every family that's represented on this line tonight. You know what each of us and our family stand in need of. And we just come laying everything at your feet because no matter what we stand in need of, God, nobody can give us what we need the most than you because you know what we need better than what we know ourselves, God. I just ask now, Holy Spirit, have your way in each of our minds and our hearts. And I pray, Father God, that you will walk with us when we disconnect from this line, keeping us safe and protected from the evils of this world. We also lift to you, Father God, the families that are anticipating the storm to come through the Florida area and the other areas, Lord. I pray that you shield and protect each of them. I pray, Father God, that you give them the mindset to seek cover, to evacuate from their homes, not to be worried about those material things, but to seek cover from the storm. And I pray, God, that this storm, your works will have minimum damage, Father God, in the areas in which it may travel through. We are grateful, God, that you shield and protect us 2 weeks ago. And we ask, God, for your covering to continue to be with us. God, we just look to you now, the author and finisher of our faith, to shine your light even more on us now as we study your word. It is in the powerful and precious name of Jesus we ask these things of you, God. Amen.
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 Amen. Is Sister Nilton on yet?
Ain't no harm to know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So glad. So glad.
Hallelujah. So thankful tonight. Hallelujah.
I
heard the voice of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need you tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need you tonight. Come on, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We need you tonight, God. Mm. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deacon Connor, thank you for that hymn tonight. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Lusting us into the presence of our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the saints.
Yes.
Hallelujah to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank Brother Everett tonight for that powerful prayer. Everything leading us and ushering us into the presence of our God tonight. Bringing us to the point where we can break the bread of life and share the word of God. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to us and give us understanding of what the word is saying to us tonight. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, we had such an awesome time sharing and fellowshipping last week at Loaves and Fishes in Macon, Georgia. We were blessed even to have people on the telephone line. Deacon Connor, his faithful service, Apostle Adside, and Sister Brenda was on site. But all those that had joined us on the line, on the ministry line, we're so thankful to you and for everybody who shared in the ministry last week.
Yes,
it was a powerful
yes.
time in the Lord. It was just
yes.
a blessing, you know. And Dr. Deb, you know, I'm called Dr. Singleton, Dr. Deb, if y'all don't mind. That's what I've been calling her because I figured there was a Dr. Phil that could be a Dr. Deb. So y'all excuse me for that. Amen, amen. And we had such a blessed time. We have been walking and journeying through the epistle of our Apostle Paul to the Romans. And as Dr. Singleton and I have been working through the scripture and sharing with y'all as we tag team and work together, it's been a blessing for me. And I pray that it's been a blessing for you all. What a blessing. What a
yes.
blessing. From the phone line to the face-to-face fellowship and sharing in the presence of our God. We covered last week chapter 12 in our journey. And we brought to everybody's attention that this was a spiritual commencement address at Paul. We were graduating. Paul had taken us through the previous chapters, laying the doctrinal foundation of the faith and where we are as people needing a Savior, where we were needing a Savior and where we were and where we are as believers. Talking to the church at Rome, I considered chapter 12 the commencement because he began to talk to us we were ready to fulfill God's plan for the church. And so just as he was talking to the church at Rome, he was speaking to us and telling us how we should step into what it is that God's plan was for the church. Paul told us what God wanted us to do. He told us how God wanted us to live. And he exhorted us to give ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We're not animals that are laid on the altar to be killed and not live, but we're to sacrifice ourselves just as those sacrifices were given, but we are a living sacrifice. So our lives become part of showing the beauty of our worship to our God by us giving ourselves as those living sacrifices to him. We allow God to shape and to mold us, and he's molding us. We're being molded by God through the renewing of our minds. Every day in the walk of a believer should be a mind-improving experience, a renewing of our minds.
Yes.
That we might be able to show God through this revitalization of our minds. We bring it brings about a transformation for us, which results in a good life, which is pleasing and acceptable to God. Don't y'all want to please God with your walk?
Yeah.
I know some of y'all been on the journey a lot longer than me. I know some of y'all been walking this thing out in your lives, and you know that you have been that saint that God has declared you to be. So for those of us that are on this journey continues on, and we talked about graduation, but I also talked about there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Once we start on this journey, once it commences in our life, and we commence on this journey, you know, they call it a commencement exercise because it's a beginning.
Yeah.
We were born again, born of the Spirit of God, born again believers, commencing a journey through this life. We are now transformed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, to live that acceptable life. It is our complete worship of God. It is through our life that we worship God every day.
Yes.
We become humble servants to the body of Christ, as well as the world in which we live. The world should be a better place, saints, because we are here in our homes, in our communities, in our state, in our country, in this world. We may not be able to impact thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, or millions of people, but we can impact the lives that we see every day. Being in loaves and fishes, having culminated our time to chapter 12, was such a beautiful experience, Dr. Deb, as you took some of us on a tour of loaves and fishes so we can see the work, what God is doing. So now when you say, see what the Lord has done, it's going to have even more meaning to me because I saw what God had done there at Loaves and Fishes through your ministry and your leadership. God bless you, my sister, for what you're doing, and may you be able to continue to do that. And for all who help you and support you, for Sister Ruby and all of those that come and help out in ministry, Apostle Asai, Deacon Connor, Brother Everett, Sister Brenda, Sister Wanda, I can name them, you know, and I'm learning to the people of God, and it's so beautiful to see us working toward that goal. We humble ourselves before our God. We are his humble servants. And God has given us gifts by his grace through his Holy Spirit. Those gifts are to build up and not tear down. So many people are tearing down each other today, but this gift of the Spirit is to help build up the body of Christ, to build us up as believers and to help others that we come in contact with every day. The Apostle Paul told us what love looks like in the life of a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give ourselves to God wholly, completely, a living sacrifice that he might use us for his glory. I ask you today, what has God done in your life to use you for his glory today? And if you don't feel he did something today, tomorrow is coming. The evening is not over. Let God use you for his glory in his kingdom. We are ready, as Jesus had admonished his disciples, to go ye therefore in all the world, preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel of peace to every creature. God is with us, and to God be the glory. My brothers and sisters, that was such a beautiful time, and we basked in that for a few days and just thank God for the blessing of chapter 12 ministering to our hearts. And this week, we are going to take a turn. We're moving into the next chapter. Hallelujah. We're going into chapter 13 for this week. And we know that as Paul, as I said in chapter 12, he primarily dealt with us as Christians and how we relate to our fellow believers. But I believe as we go through chapter 13, we're going to see where Paul is dealing with us as Christians and the unbelieving society in the world. He's going to speak to us concerning our submission to governmental authority. He's going to speak to our love for our neighbors. And he's going to speak to our focus on the imminent return of Jesus Christ in our lives. As we journey through chapter 13 tonight, we will become more aware of our responsibility to submit to governmental authority as long as that authority is not trying to replace God in our lives. Listen to me. As long as that authority is not trying to replace God or force worship of false gods that is against our God. Our God is the Most High God. There is no other. Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim. Whatever we call his name from Scripture, he is our God. He's El Elyon. He is our God, the Most High. My brothers and sisters, we need to become aware of the world that we're in. The authorities are God's servants. So those that are in authority, they are God's servants. It's sometimes it's hard for us to see them that way. But Paul is going to tell us that we need to respect that authority. He's also going to tell us to make sure that we handle our business, to pay our debt, to not owe anyone except to love one another. All of the commandments in the second half of the Ten Commandments, those six, are summed up in the commandment that Jesus gave us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Even in Leviticus, Moses is speaking God's word and law to and commandments to the people of Israel. He's even telling them in Leviticus 19 and 18 the same thing, to love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to talk about that love a little bit because it fulfills the law. And we're not just talking about loving those that are in the church. We're talking about loving people who are unbelievers as well. And we'll see that in our text tonight.
Amen.
So we're looking forward to the lesson tonight. I'm excited in studying in the lesson, and I know that Dr. Deb is excited about this, and I know you are waiting to hear what we have to say as we walk through this. I want to set another part of the stage tonight as we would call this a journey. I love that we call it a walk through the Word. This is our journey through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, when I come to the line, whether I'm coming to be fed or even to feed the Word of God, I'm always imagining what the situation was like for those who first heard that word being taught to them or being preached to them or being shared with them. And so I put my mind in Rome way back in the first century of the church when Paul was teaching to them. And I think about what was going on in Rome. We can see as we go through this that was a stage being set. And so let's keep that in our mind in context of the scripture that something was going on with the church at Rome and with the Romans that were there. We must be cognizant of the fact that Judaism was a legal religion in the Roman Empire. It had formal protections and exceptions under Roman law. The free practice of the Jewish religion was protected to including the right for them to gather in synagogues, to observe festivals, and to send money to the temple in Jerusalem. These Jews in Rome were also exempt from military service. The Roman government recognized the decisions of the Jewish tribunals in matters of personal natures of status. We know that during Jesus' day, we get to see that they had their own Sanhedrin council, and they had their governmental peace with under the Roman rule, but yet they were limited in what they can do because they could not carry out execution or the death penalty. The Romans had the authority of that. So some things that they could not do under their rule of law in Judaism, but they were allowed to thrive and to worship their God. But on several occasions that they were there, they were persecuted by the Romans. When we first started this journey way back in chapter 1, we talked about a few of those. I gave a few examples. One, when they started the journey, they were banished from Rome in 139 B.C., 19 A.D., and during the reign of Claudius, they were banished and told they had to leave. And we talked about that even being tied to Acts chapter 18, where Paul met Priscilla and Aquila, and they talked about what Emperor Claudius was doing. And that's when they came together and they began to minister together and get to know one another. So it's even through persecution, as we know, the church continues to thrive and to be and spread across. So, my brothers and sisters, I don't want to spend too much time in setting the stage, but I want you to think about the fact, think about what it was like for these Romans. Judaism was a monotheistic belief. So was Christianity. And we know that Christianity, salvation, as the scripture says, is of the Jews. So out of Judaism comes Christianity. And a lot of the early Christians were Jews who practiced a lot of the Jewish rituals and laws. And so we know that Christianity was considered a sect, much like they had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. Even the Christians were considered part of this when they were in Rome. That's why they were kicked out together, exiled together. So we know some of these early Christians were both Jews and Gentiles. And as Christianity began to spread, and over time, it spread to the Gentile populations, and it became to develop more a more distinct theology different from Judaism. It gradually separated from Judaism. And we can see this separation beginning in some of Paul's journeys in Acts and in the epistles that he wrote. So even in the epistle to the Romans, we began to see him talking both to Jew and Gentile believers. He begins to talk to them about salvation by grace. He talks to them about justification, sanctification, glorification. He begins to talk to them about righteousness, to be declared righteousness. Righteous before God, and to be able to be a slave to righteousness so that we might be able to live a holy life. Yes, that's why when he got to graduation, he said, now I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, to present yourself living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is but your reasonable service. We thank God for what he has done and what he's doing through the Apostle Paul. So Dr. Deb, I'm going to turn away from this laying of foundation part and see if we can go through the text and see what God will help us to minister to those that are on the line tonight. And hopefully we'll have some time as we get to the end of this. We'll find time where we can, hallelujah, share and even have some dialogue on what Paul is talking about in chapter 13. So, Dr. Deb, I turn it over to you that you might carry us to the next step of the journey.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you so much for laying, again, the foundation as well as putting us in the framework and the frame mind of where we are as we speak on tonight. I want to remind us, even in our handout that we provided to you, if you look on page 23 and page 24 and 25, it talks about God's expectation. When we get to chapter 12 through chapter 16, we look at what does God expect of a kingdom citizen. We are kingdom citizens, those of us that are on the line that have made the Romans 10, 9 through 13 confession, that you have said Jesus is Lord and that he is the Lord of your life. So you are now, you have moved from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. And you are a kingdom citizen. And God speaks to you as well as he speaks to me and Pastor Reggie, that there are some expectations of being a part of the kingdom. Yes, kingdom citizen. The other thing that I want us to look at tonight is understand the role of He, Holy Spirit, in our lives. To be able to walk in obedience, to be able to walk aligned to the word and the way and the will of God, Holy Spirit has to operate in your life. What do I mean? We have been given, right there in Acts 2:38, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as Pastor Reggie refers, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. And by having the Holy Ghost living in us, we have what we need to carry out what God called us to carry out. We can do and live the way he's called us because of he, Holy Spirit, operating. How does he operate? We have to be surrendered. We have to be submitted, and we have to align our thoughts, our mind to the will of God. How do I know that Holy Spirit is operating in our lives? How do you know he's operating in my life? You know it through my speech. You know it through my conduct. You know it through the way I love. You know it through in terms of my faith, and you know it through my purity. That's how you know Holy Spirit is working in me. What did it say about Stephen? It says Stephen was full of the what? Holy Spirit. How did I know that? Look at what he was able to do, the miracles and the signs that was with him, and the ability to be able to stand in boldness and confidence before leaders, before the Sanhedrin Council, and yet and still, even in the midst of his transition from earth to glory, you still say that last verse that he was full of what? The Holy Spirit. To be able to do this, these expectations that we are going to talk about tonight, they are not my expectations. They're not Pastor Reggie's expectations, but they are God's expectations. As a matter of fact, you could have really glued Romans chapter 12 to chapter number 13 because it continues to talk about the kind of daily conduct that we are to have as kingdoms or as citizens of the kingdom. I asked the question tonight, do you know that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God? And if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, there are, again, I'm going to say this word again, there are some expectations
Yes, the people ought to know when you go to the Dollar Tree. They ought to know when you're at the doctor's office. They ought to know that you are citizens of the kingdom based upon your conduct, based upon who lives on the inside of you. So as Paul continues this journey, Pastor Reggie, I can't help myself but to look at it from the perspective of, I have to have He, Holy Spirit, operating in me for me to be able to walk this walk. Yes, this walk of obedience, this walk of holiness, this walk of righteousness. The only way I can do it, I can't do it on my own. I can't. What did Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? We got to put our trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will direct your path. Y'all, we can't do this on our own. Because too many people hurt us, they harm us, they do things to us. And Stephen, even in the midst of being stoned by them, he said, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them of the sin that they could. The only way he could do that was he was full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and full of grace. Ah, my question tonight, don't you want to walk like that? Don't you want to walk and know what God's expectations are of us as believers, as Christians? We are not here to just walk around and look and see how things look. No, we got a calling on our lives. We got some expectations that have been put upon our lives. So Pastor Reggie, thank you again for setting us up. So this, tonight we are going to look at, as you said, we are going to now turn to what is God's expectation as it deals with government. What is His expectation as it deals with me loving my neighbor? What is God's expectation for me as a citizen of the kingdom of God? We should be some of the best citizens of all because of who lives inside of us, who we belong to. Let me start reading. I'm going to read from the Amplified, if you don't mind tonight. I may jump back and forth to the New Living Translation so it can bring the word even more to it. But keep in mind tonight, notice, look at the role of the Holy Spirit in your life for you to be able to carry this out. That's the only way. That's the only way, Sister Max, we can do this is Holy Spirit being alive in our lives. Let me start reading. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse number 1, reading from the Amplified Bible, when it speaks to us about respect for authority. Let's see what it says. Verse number 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, granted by His permission and sanction. And those which exist have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists governmental authority resists the ordinance of God. Pastor Reggie's going to come back and break this down even further for us. And those who have resisted it will bring judgment, civil penalty on themselves. For civil authorities are not a source of fear for people of good behavior, but for those who do evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do then what is good, and you will receive approval and commendation. Verse number 4, for He is God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, you should be afraid, for He does not carry the executioner's sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an avenger who brings judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject to civil authorities, not only to escape the punishment that comes with wrongdoing, but also as a matter of principle, knowing what is right before God. for this reason, for this same reason, verse number 6, you pay taxes. For civil authorities are God's servants, devoting themselves to governance. Pay to all what is due. Tax to whom tax is due. Customs to whom customs. Respect to whom respect. Honor to whom honor. I read verses 1 through 7 in this passage that speaks to us in terms of God's expectations for us as citizens of the kingdom. Pastor Reggie.
Amen, Dr. Deb. Thank you so much for reading that in the Amplified. It pulled out some things and it speaks to us. Listen, saints on the line, as Dr. Deb said, we could put chapter 12 and 13 together because it's all about our behavior as Christians. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in this. But listen, as Paul is talking to the church at Rome, these believers, he's saying not only are you supposed to have this love in action that he talked about in chapter 12, but he said there are things that you should do to show the outside world who we are. Listen, this is supposed to be a better community because you're in it. It's supposed to be a better city because you're in it. It's supposed to be a better state because we are here, because of the believers. We are the remnant of God to show God's love and grace in the earth. Now, what does it look like if we don't respect the governmental authority? Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The government hadn't always been good.
That's right.
It hadn't always been good to us. And that is true.
All right.
But through God's grace and mercy, and over time, we have been able to get further along by participating in the governmental process. So what we see here is Paul is talking to being subjected to governmental authorities. But remember, they weren't in the United States. They were in Rome. But let's be clear. The Romans were treacherous, too. The Romans were known to conquer and bring people under subjection to them. And it was a time, even in the lives of these Christians, hallelujah, during the first century, that they were being persecuted by emperors in Rome, even to the point that they were falsely accused of having set the city on fire, but it was actually caused by the emperor's neglect. So they got falsely accused of something, and they suffered for that through persecution. But even in the midst of that, Paul is saying that these authorities, all authority, is established by God. Listen, we are to be subject to those authorities, and he's telling us right there in verse 1 that there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities exist, are established by God. He says it more than once. He's emphasizing it, let us know that even though those kingdoms rise and fall, there are a lot of kingdoms that had come up and fell down. The Roman Empire is not intact today, but at that time, it was the authority that had conquered that part of the world. But why would God allow these authorities to be? I'm just going to say a couple of things here, Dr. Dev. Let me just say a couple of things. Listen, we like to talk about these authorities, but one of the reasons why God established authority in the earth is because of anarchy. He doesn't want anarchy to be here, but sometimes we have upheavals and revolts and revivals and rebellions or whatever. In some cases, there might be a good reason to have civil disobedience. But here Paul is making sure that we are being good citizens before we stand against an authority that may not be doing what God is requiring them to do, because God will handle that. Why anarchy? Because anarchy is a state of disorder due to the absence or non-recognition of authority, other controlling systems. So in the United States, we have the Constitution. We have what they call the rule of law. And I know some of y'all thinking some things about somebody right now in the political world. Come on, somebody.
All right.
I'm not trying to
All
be
right.
political, because that's not my job, and that's not what I do. But I'm saying
All right.
that we don't want to have anarchy. God doesn't want that. But we have a representative republic that we talk about being democratic. But at the end of the day, there has to be a rule of order in every governmental. Those Christians who are living in Russia, those that are living in China, those that are living in Israel, those that are living in African countries, those that are living in other European countries, wherever Christians are living, Paul is talking to them just like he was talking to the Christians in Rome. Listen, we have to be able to submit to that authority. And we participate in the governmental system. Daniel and the Hebrew boys captured by the Babylonians, brought back to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, operating in the palace. They still had to carry out the decrees and laws. It wasn't until something happened that caused them problems. You see, as long as there isn't a challenge to the divinity of who God is, and there's not a force of us to worship other gods, we tend to participate in the governmental systems wherever we are born or wherever we travel to. We are to submit to those. If you travel to other countries, whether you're on passport or not, you're going to follow the rules of that country when you're in that country. And so he's telling them that. And so for those of us who are obeying the law, we tend to get along fairly decent. Some of us may have had some brushes with the law. Some of us have family would have brushes with the law. But we try to live peaceably within the system that God has put us under. But there are times for civil disobedience when a government begins to suppress our faith, when God's divinity is challenged by that government, and when the government is interfering with our worship of our God. And when we think about injustice, we think about Dr. Martin Luther King. And so that was a time. So when Paul is talking here, he's talking in general how they should behave as good citizens, realizing that when we participate in the processes of that government, we do try to influence change. But while we're in the system, he tells us that we want to be free from fear of the one that's in authority. We want to do what is right, that we might be commended in the system. We're not just kowtowing to the system, but we are participating in the system, and we are being good citizens. That was in verse 3. Now, verse 4 is talking about, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. In other words, God let kingdoms rise and fall. So those are, they are carrying out this rule of law or some type of law. Sometimes it's hard when you're in a tyrannical government. We know that there are some governments that are ruthless to the people. But overall, I guess Rome had some governmental bodies that were operating and allowing the Jews and the Christians to live pretty much in relative peace.
Mm-hmm.
But we should not fear government for the most part. We know us of the minority group, we tend to have our issue with government, law, officials, yes. But overall, if we work through the process, we normally turn out well. We'll talk about that because I know some of you have some thoughts coming to your mind. But realize that God is allowing government to exist so there not be anarchy. Even way back in Genesis, even before Abraham, during the time of Noah, there was some type of government, some type of governing system or something that was governing the people. And so those of us who became believers in Christ, it changes our lives. But we're still citizens of the United States. Well, let me say this about the United States.
All right.
Sometimes we try to get the political arm to do what we should be doing as believers. What are you talking about, Pat? What are you talking about, Reverend Tyson? Okay, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we're to serve God first. You know, they used to have people that used to have the saying, or sometimes you see stickers or stuff that people say, God and country. God and country. So we like to sometimes like to mix this holy God into this unholy stuff that we're doing. Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that we are in the United States of America. But I want y'all to understand that when I accepted that Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I became a born-again believer, I was born into another kingdom, the kingdom of God. So if you want to call me an immigrant, I might have migrated here after that. If you want to call me an alien or whatever, this is no longer my home because my kingdom is of another nature. But I live here, so I carry American United States citizenship. But I can't say God and country because the United States ain't on the same level as God. Kingdom. It's not. And if we understand that God is superior, he's sovereign, yeah. he's above this government, then we begin to understand who God is in the heaven. He's above this. This is his footstool down here. And so whatever we're doing, we want to pray for the government. He admonishes it somewhere else in text to pray for our government.
Yes.
Realize that we don't want this anarchy to take place. We want to be these good citizens. Amen. And I'm spending some time here because there's so much that goes on in politicals. We can participate in the political system. We register to vote. We vote. We campaign. We try to influence things. Some of us that work for the government are restricted on some things we can actually do in those arenas because we work for the system. Amen. And so I speak this to you in a way that hopefully you're receiving it because Paul is talking to the church at Rome. He's telling them, be good. He said, listen, he's telling them, he says, we should submit to those authorities and try to avoid ourselves from being brought under their punishment. We not only do this because of possible punishment, but also be as a matter of conscience. Our godly conscience won't let us break laws. Listen. We pay taxes. He lists out a few things that we do. We pay taxes. He says, this is also why you pay taxes. Mm-hmm. We pay taxes to the United States government, just like during Jesus' day when they asked whether that they should pay taxes to the Romans. Should we be paying taxes to the Romans, to Caesar? Y'all know the story.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, they were trying to trap Jesus because they were trying to get him to choose between two situations that were politically motivated. Listen to me. I love that story because Jesus was dead. He was God. He was God. He was God. He said, listen here, go bring me the coin. It was minted by Caesar. Caesar's picture on it. He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, but unto God that which is God. So when I see that, all this stuff that the United States got going that belongs to them, I'm going to render that to them. I can participate in it. But what belongs to God is me. He can't have me. Come on, somebody. He can't have me. I belong to God. I render myself to God. I'm that living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to my God. But I participate in this government. Y'all can participate. Ain't no wrong with participating. I'm going to vote. Come on, somebody. I got some friends say they're not going to vote. That's all right, too. They still under this government, whether they vote or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't want, because I don't believe God wants it, we don't want anarchy, so I'm going to leave it there because I don't do politics like that when I'm doing God stuff. Y'all pick out the politics you want to and apply it. We can talk about it. So we're to pay our taxes. We're to pay our debts. Listen. If we owe somebody, we don't want to dishonor our God by not paying our debt. So some people would say that the text speaks against borrowing. I don't think that's the case. I think it's the idea of, and I probably got a little bit ahead of myself, Dr. Dead, but we are to do these things. We're to pay the revenue. We're to respect the authority, and we're to give honor where honor is due. So my brother and sister, I'll stop right there on that piece, and I'll just say we can participate. We're in this country. We're citizens of the country. But never forget where your ultimate loyalty lies. It lies with our God, with Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. He's our God, too, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We still participate here We're here for a purpose, and we'll be good citizens. We'll draw people to the kingdom by our good behavior and our participation in respecting and obeying the government that we're under. Amen. Dr. Deb.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie, for walking us through that. And as you said, we are not to be tax dodgers or avoid paying our taxes or avoid paying what is due to others and rendering respect to whom respect is due and honor to whom honor is due. Again, this aligns to God's expectations for those of us that are citizens of the kingdom. And the only way to do this is through He, Holy Spirit, operating in us. We can't have a battle inside of us and say, well, I see what it says there, but you know what? I'm going to do something different. But God is expecting, as a matter of fact, our children look at us to see how we will carry out and do what we need to do. Our children look at us when they give us more change at the store than they're supposed to give us. Our children look at us how we operate when April the 15th come and we file an extension and whether or not we pay our taxes. Our children are watching us in terms of how we pay our debt. We go to our neighbor and ask, can I borrow $50 and I'll give it back to you when I get paid. And then we turn around and we walk by the person as though we don't even know them, knowing that we owe them. This, I'm gonna tell you all something. I heard this banker told me one time, and this is true. He said the ones that is worse. He said minister, the one that is worse in paying their debts and paying their loans is people who said that they are connected to the church. And I said that can't be, because we are connected to the source of all blessing. We are connected to the Creator. He said, yeah. But paying debt, paying what they owe, coming in, paying their bills on time, or even paying at all. So this again speaks to us about our reputation. Let me take that back. The reputation, we say that we are children of God, and people are looking at our God and saying, "Wait a minute." Well, I know your God didn't say, don't pay her back. I know your God didn't say, don't pay your bills. I know your God didn't. See, all of this has to do with us being citizens of the kingdom in day to day. This is where the rubber meets the road. Yeah. This is not a theological or hermeneutics or trying to break down what the Greek word and the Hebrew word is. No, it's where the rubber meets the road, and this is what God is looking for us to be a light in this dark world. We got to walk it out in our everyday lives, and we know paying our debts is a part of our everyday life. Following the rules and not speeding when it says this is a 35 and we catch ourselves running 70 and 75 through a zone. This is a part of walking it out. This is a part of respecting others, honoring others. So thank you so much as you walked us through this in God's expectation of me as a citizen of the kingdom. As I allow children to look at my life, looking at my life and saying, you know what? She's a citizen of the kingdom, and she's walking it out in terms of how she interacts, even with government officials, even with the police when she gets stopped or pulled over. I don't know about y'all, but I've been pulled over before. And so what we have to do is we have to be an example. Even in the midst of it. Now, Paul does not tell us. He lets us know that there's going to be those in government that is not going to do the right thing. We've seen it already. Tell we've seen it with the Floyd situation. We saw it in slavery. We saw it in various places. But God is still calling. There's an expectation for me to stand up and be who I'm called to be, a citizen of the kingdom, one that he can say, that's mine right there. Let me go on.
I just got to get this one in about debt. And y'all forgive me. You know, I used to always say, I don't know where I got it from, there's two things people don't forget, who they owe and who owes them. Mm-hmm. Now, they may not pay, but they ain't forget. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. When the time came where you made that promise, you remembered. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And if you were the one on the end that lent it out, you remember. So that's why I tell people when they ask me for something, I want to know, are you borrowing it or you want me to give it to you?
Because if you say
you're borrowing, I'm expecting you to pay me back.
Yes, sir.
But if I'm giving you a gift, I'm not looking for it no more.
That's it.
Come on, somebody.
That's it.
But sometimes we got to let ourselves be defrauded. But anyway, I'm stopped. I just want to throw that in, Dr. Day. I had to get that one in. It's a little harder to do on the phone like we did in person.
That's all right. But you needed to, because here's the thing. If we are going to be disciples of Christ, we got to live it out in all areas of our lives. And this area has to do with obligation and responsibility. We have to. And so if I'm gonna make a debt, then I ought to pay it. Some of us on the line have signed, signed for somebody to get something, and then they said that they were gonna pay it, and then they end up not paying it, Sister Mac, and then that falls back on us to pay it. Notice this: we as disciples, we are growing you all. This is progressive. This is progressive living, okay? I'm progressing. I'm getting better as a disciple of Christ. What does God expect of me? I'm going to keep on reading, because I know one thing. He don't expect me to be a tax dodger. He don't expect me to cheat on fees that's been imposed as really legitimate. He doesn't expect that. He wants me to show proper respect. Even though they may not show it to me, he is saying, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to be a light that darkness can't cover up. And even when they say ugly to you, what are you going to say? There's some expectations, you all. There's expectations, Deborah, that God is expecting of you as a citizen of the kingdom of God. We're going to keep on going, Pastor. Look at verse number eight. It says, owe nothing to anyone except, notice this, except to what? Love. Now, this love here is agape love, A-G-A-P-E. Well, Minister Deborah, where do I find agape love? You find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That's agape love. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm not talking about brotherly love. I am talking about the kind of love. Whether you love me, I still love you. The only way, Deacon Carter, I can do that is I have to have the Holy Spirit working in me. Somebody say, I got to have it. Yeah, that's why Stephen, even in the midst of being stoned, forgive them for this sin. How can I love somebody who hurt and harmed me? I have to have He, Holy Spirit, not just in me, I'm talking about operating in me. And I'm not talking about pretending. I'm not talking about putting on or anything. It says, owe nothing to anyone except what? To love and to seek the best for one another. For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. That means, guess what? I love you, and then guess what else I do? I seek the very best for you. Oh, wait a minute. That means I'm willing to let you go what? Ahead of me. I'm willing for you to get the biggest slice of the pie. I'm willing to let you have the last slice of the pizza. I'm willing to say, look, you know what? I've had enough. I don't need any more. This whole thing of love, you all, this evening, is unselfishly love your neighbor. Unselfishly. That means, guess what? You can have it. You go first. Let me keep reading. Verse number 9. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this statement. I'm going to give you what the statement is. You, Deborah, disciples of Christ, on the line tonight, Tuesday, walk in the word. You shall love your neighbor as what? Yourself. We have to understand neighbor is not the whites that live next door to me. But I'm talking about our neighbor. Neighbor not based on locality. But it says I got to love my what? My neighbor. And I got to love them like what? Just like I love myself. I wouldn't do anything in my right mind to harm myself. Notice what else it said in verse 10. Love does no wrong to a what? Neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of the law. This agape love, this 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 love, that a lot of these young people want to be read at their wedding, but they don't get a good understanding of what this love is all about. This love is when, guess what? When they are out of control, I'm in control because I'm allowing Holy Spirit to work in me. This love is patient, you all. This love says, you know what? I can wait. You go first. So we have to understand this agape love where I'm seeking the best for Sister Janice Lucas. I'm seeking the best for my brother and sister online. And I am not selfish. I don't have to have it all for myself. It ain't got to be about me. It's about you. I told someone some time ago we were serving in ministry together. And what I told him is, I said, one thing about it. I can outlove you. I'm going to outlove you. See, loving somebody, this kind of love, this agape love, yes, again, is patient. We talked about it over in chapter 12, didn't we, Pastor Reggie? Love must be sincere. We saw it in verse number 9 in chapter number 12. Love must be sincere. It must be real. And I'm going to tell you all something. People know when your love is real. They know when it's real. They know when it's authentic. They know when you really mean it. And love, let me tell you something. You ain't got to give somebody a box of chocolates every time you turn around. Love is when you can tell me, Sister Deborah, come to the side. Let me talk to you for a minute. And love is being there, the shoulder that one can lean on, Sister Felicia, the shoulder that one can cry on. That's the kind of love, the love that means, you know what, I don't have an extra box of chocolates, but this one little sneaker bar that I got, I'm willing to give you more than half of it. Notice this kind of love. This love says love does no wrong to a neighbor. It don't hurt anyone. It's not. It's unselfish love. And that, you all, is God's expectation of a citizen of the kingdom of God. He's expecting us to do this. This is expectation. Pastor Reggie, verses 8 through 10. Any comments, sir? Back over to you.
Okay, Dr. Deb, you do so wonderfully with that love topic. That love topic, talking about God's love language, God's love action. I love that. I'm just going to take a comment. I don't have to add too much of that, except for I want to talk about verse 10. Love does no harm to neighbor. Therefore, the love is the fulfillment of the law. You don't have to be a legalist to fulfill the requirements or the intent of the law. This is what Paul is telling us. He's saying, listen, if I love you, if I agape you, I won't sleep with your wife or your husband. Come on, somebody.
All right, now.
If I love you, agape you, I won't kill somebody in your family. If I love or agape you, I won't steal from you. If I love agape you, I won't try to covet what you have. Listen, and he said all the other ones are summed up in that. So Jesus took this on that level, and he told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That was one of the commandments he gave. The other one, to love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy might. And those are the first four. We loving God. And then the last six of the ten, we loving our neighbors, as I said. And I want y'all to understand, too, and there's one more thing I'm going to say, Dr. Dare, before we move on, is that this section, as he's talking to the church, he's referencing the commandments of God, but he's realizing that that law, that was commandment applied to the general behavior that we have with everybody, not just believers, but with the unbelievers.
Everybody.
That's what he's wanting us to see. I'm going to expand our minds on the text because it's easy to just
everybody.
Sit back in the church, but it's when we're out there. It's part of that citizenry that we are, that he talked about at the beginning, obeying the law of the land, submitting to the authority, but also loving them as our neighbor. Amen. Loving them as our neighbor, just as God loved us. But he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Y'all notice that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We give ourselves a living sacrifice. I got to keep going back to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We got to be transformed. This is hard. Listen, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let it go and let you move forward. When you were talking and teaching, I had to say out. So there were some things in there that I got to come on somebody. And we do these things and we don't think of because they're small things. Because as long as I can pay the ticket, I guess I pay the cost to do that. But I shouldn't be the one that everybody passing by and see me pull on the side of the road. Come on, somebody. I got to be a better citizen. So this is for all of us. So as we are ministering this, man, it's coming back at me hard. So go ahead, Dr. Deb. I love it. I love this.
Amen. Amen. I want to give another scripture reference tonight, if you don't mind, Pastor Reggie. Matthew chapter 22, that you know, Jesus talks about the most important commandment. It's another cross reference tonight. And it says in verse 37, Jesus replied. I'm going to start with verse 36. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But notice what verse number 38 says. This is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Loving the Lord with our all heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor. What did he say? Who is my neighbor? Then he took him to the one that they were on the Samaritan and how he cared for the man that had been hurt. So tonight, as I look at it, God set the standard. Isn't this something you are here? We ain't being graded on a curve. He sets the standard for us as disciples of Christ. Oh, let me keep reading.
Dr. Dare, see, starting stuff, Dr. Dare. Look, see, when you were talking, I was listening and I heard this. Listen, to love God. See, I've been overseas in other countries. I really appreciate the United States, but I don't love the United States like I love God.
Say it.
I love it when we have a great leader in the White House. But I don't love the president like I love God.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get y'all to see how I'm seeing
this.
I don't love more than I love God. But I appreciate them. I'm going to give them honor where they do honor. I'm going to respect them where they do respect it, but I don't love them like I love God. Go ahead. I'm going to stop. I just want to get this. Lord, help me. Help me, saints on the line. Go ahead.
Yes. But you're speaking to us, though, Pastor Reggie, from the expectation, what God expects of me. because sometimes we can fall in love with people and with things and make them idols. But God is bringing us back tonight. Paul is bringing us back tonight. He said, wait a minute now. We had already talked about how you're supposed to act, your good conduct, how you're to be a living sacrifice. Let me keep on reminding you of something, is that your love is first to God.
Yes.
Your love is first to God, not your children, not your job, not all these other things, but it is to God. I'm going to keep reading, sir. Yes, Maxwell. Oh, yes. Verse 11. Do this. I like this instruction tonight, because I'm like you. I'm saying ouch, too. Do this knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 12. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on, notice what he tells us to do. He tells us here, he gives us some clear direction, you all. He says, now look, you got to get rid of the works of darkness. And you got to put on something. That's the full armor of light. Here's another instruction, Pastor Kuiper. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably, as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy. But notice what he tells us in verse 14. He tells us in verse 30, he tells us what not to do, and what we need to stay away from, what we need to die from. But he tells us in verse 14, but clothe yourselves. That means put it on. I mean all of it on. Clothe yourselves with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Pastor Reggie, go on and share that with us. What does that say to us tonight, starting with verse number 11, with this spiritual complacency and that we are in a critical time? Talk to us about that tonight and how we need to prepare and what we need to get rid of.
Amen, Dr. Dale. We're gonna bring this thing. We're going to land this aircraft. But look how Paul is coming in this chapter, and now he's bringing it home. He said, now, y'all respect the government. Come on. You got to love your neighbor. But don't you forget that the hour has come. Yes, Jesus is coming back. Never forget that he's coming back for us. You may be in a governmental system that you don't like. You may have some neighbors you can't stand. But you're going to respect the government. You're going to love your neighbors, and you're going to look to heaven. He said, look to heaven, because he's coming back. And look at how you're living while I'm coming. Listen, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. He's talking in language in the next verses, Dr. Deb and Deacon Connor. He's talking in language that had to do with putting on clothes and taking clothes off. Anybody here take the clothes off and put them on?
Yeah.
So he said, put aside the deeds of darkness.
Take it Come
off.
On then.
Take all that dark stuff off. Put it aside. And then put on the armor of light. We're to be light in the world. We're supposed to be light. Listen, everything is connected, even what Jesus said. We're salt and light. Put on the armor of light. That means walking in the light the truth and righteousness is going to protect me from something. Come on, somebody. Listen, if I'm walking in the light, it's he in the light. Mm. Y'all know what I'm saying. The light is our armor. Let's walk in it. And he says, stop acting a certain way. Let's behave decently in this thing. I want to be a decent person for the kingdom of God because I'm an ambassador for Christ.
Yes.
I'm a representative for Christ.
Yes.
So I want y'all to leave this line tonight thinking that you're an ambassador. And because you're an ambassador, this ain't your home country. You're in the United States, but you're not of the United States.
Yes.
I know I'm messing with some of y'all tonight because we hold on to this thing. We live in a good country that has some good things, but we know it's got some bad things. But because I am an ambassador, listen to this, Dr. Dead. Watch out, Apostle Asai. Because I'm an ambassador, my house is an embassy in the United States.
My Lord. My Lord. House,
where I worship is part of the embassy.
Embassy, yes, sir.
Of what I mean. So everything that I need and everything that I have comes from my kingdom. Even the strength to go and work every day is coming from my God. For God would give me the strength to gain wealth. Somebody ought to say amen. So I'm an ambassador, and I need to put aside these things that's not of my kingdom because I'm representing my God.
Listen, I have been here.
I've been a carouser. I've been drunken. Listen, I know what sexual immorality is. I've been debased, the debauchery. Listen, I know what it's like. But listen, I had to take that off.
Come on now.
And clothe myself with the armor of light.
Protect me,
the armor of light. That's the love I have for people, the life that I live for Christ. And listen, I'm going to get out of here because I see the time spinning. Listen.
Yes.
He said, verse 14, Dr. Dev, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Wrap yourself up in it.
In him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me break this down. I'm gonna leave y'all alone. You know, we got parts of scripture where it'll say Jesus. It'll say the Lord. It'll say Christ. But every now and then, it'll say the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Paul doing when he put them all three together? He's telling us something about our God, the Lord. That's the word that's in the Old Testament that they wouldn't utter, Yahweh. So Lord speaks of his deity. Yes, Jesus. That means Jehovah saved. It speaks of Christ's humanity. Then he says Christ. In the Hebrew, that's Messiah, the anointed one. You know, the one that was uniquely equipped for the task at hand. That's his title. Yes, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm to clothe myself in all of his deity, all of his humanity, and walk in the beauty of his holiness, knowing that he is my God.
Yes.
I clothe myself in him to have a mind of Christ. I don't know. I'm not Christ. I can't even do what Paul was doing. But I clothe myself. Paul said, put on the armor of light and clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. And do not think about how you're going to gratify this flesh. This is hard now. This is hard stuff here. But it's beautiful. If I'm walking in Christ, with Christ on, I can't take him some places that some people want to go. I can't go to them places no more. I can't take Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, into houses of ill repute. I can't take him to the wrong places. I only can take him where I can glorify him. Because people ain't going to always look at me and see him. They're going to look at what I'm doing.
My
flesh, my God, my flesh can be a mess, but we want to not fulfill that lust of the flesh, not to be gratified and focused on our desires. We're to clothe ourselves in Christ, and Christ said, if any man come after me,
I'm not just coming after him tonight, saints. I'm going to put him on.
Rack
I'm not coming after him tonight. I'm trying to put him on, Dr. Deb. I'm trying to put him on, Deacon Connor.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put him on tonight.
Come on.
Deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him. Saints, I'm done.
Sir.
I'm done tonight
sir.
With this lesson. Doc, you got something. Some other people might have something. But this lesson, I thought when I was studying it, it was getting to me. It got through it on the walk.
Yes.
On this walk, it done got to me.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Saints on the line, we all are workmanship. We are being worked, shaped, and molded by our God. Ain't nobody on this line perfect.
Yeah,
but we
want to
be shaped
on.
And molded by God. I want to be better
shaped
at this thing. You know, things going to come up. You'd be surprised what it pop up. Some things popped up while I was on this line tonight trying to distract me. Don't worry about the devil.
Yeah. Come on now.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. No, I'm going to do it tonight. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Lord, have mercy. I'm just trying to find my way home. I'm just trying to find my way home. Paul is telling at the end, he's coming back. He's coming. Come, Lord
Jesus.
He's coming. I'm gonna leave the saints alone tonight, Doc. I love y'all. Listen, I love God. I love God's word. You know, David loved God. Everybody like to talk about David. And we never like to talk about the stuff that David did. But God knew his heart. Do you have a clean heart? Do you have a clean heart?
Jesus.
Ask the Lord to give you a clean heart and renew that right spirit. Lord, help us tonight to focus on you even the more. We may not feel we got a lot of time left, some of us on the line, but we got enough time to make a difference in somebody's life. We got enough time to say something to somebody. And I thank God for those of you who are already doing that. And I want to do more myself, even if I can just touch the lives of somebody in my family, in my community, whatever. Carry that light with you wherever you go. That's all I got, Doc. I want to get out. I want to get out of here. But let me say that. Oh, my goodness. We have been declared righteous.
Yes,
when he
Lord.
Looks at us, when they look at us, when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's why I got to clothe myself in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm clothed in him. Imagine yourself clothed in Christ. Christ is enveloping you. You're enveloped by him. You're wearing him everywhere. When you're going in the grocery store, wherever you're going, and when you're getting ready to say that profane word, you're getting ready to come out your mouth, but you say, I'm clothed in Jesus. I can't say that word. Oh, I'm messing with it. Listen to me, because I know it's easy to say it. We don't think nothing wrong with it. I was talking to a sister. I'm going to give this testimony. I'm out of here. I was talking to a minister friend of mine, a sister that's an assistant principal in another state. And we were talking about profanity. She said, she didn't see that that was wrong, you know, because, you know, got a lot of shows out there that everybody cussing, just about everybody. The presidential candidate is cussing. Everybody's cussing. What's going on here? There is no cuss words no more. Listen to me. So I said, my sister, see, we got to love our neighbors. I said, we got to look at each other and encourage each other. I said, my sister, if you really believe that, what I want you to do is I want you to go to that high school that you're the assistant principal tomorrow, and I want you to go in there and just start cussing. She said, no, I can't do that. What are you talking about then? If you can't do it there, what makes you think it's all right to do it anywhere? I'm done. Because I know that's hard. I told y'all a story about my grandson riding with me in the vehicle. He said, Papa, did you know any cuss words? So I'm messing with them. This isn't for somebody because it's hard for us to handle our mouth. You know, the Bible talks about the tongue in James. It's all connected. My tongue. Now, I can't tell y'all that I don't know the word. I can't tell you that I'm incapable of saying it anymore. What I'm saying is that if I'm clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard for one of them to get out. Come on, somebody. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for it to get out.
Come on.
It's going to be real hard for it to get out. Not because I see it as a condemnation to hell, but what I represent. The kids are watching us. My grandson was 10 years old when he asked me this question. He said, "Papa, you know how to cuss?" He said, "You know any cuss words?" I said, "Yes, son, I know, son." I know y'all heard this story before, some of y'all that's on the line. But it was so powerful to me because he was watching me. He was observing me and everybody else in his environment, his mama, his daddy, everybody else. And he said, "Papa, did you know any cuss words?" I know him, son. He said, "Well, can you say one for me?" I said, "No, I don't think I could do that." "Come on, Papa, I don't believe you know it. If you know one, you should be able to say one." Lord have mercy. I wasn't going to say it for him.
Mm-mm.
I used the word darn. He said, "Papa, it ain't no cuss word." I shouldn't even say that to him. But what I'm saying is that doesn't make me perfect. I'm trying. Because it could have happened 10 minutes after that. Somebody could have done something and I went off. But you got to work at it. You got to surrender to this thing. You got to put on Christ. You got to have the mind of Christ. That's just one thing. And everybody probably has a testimony of something that they don't do no more. Everybody on this line stopped doing some things that they used to do after they came to Christ. So that don't make me special on a little thing. But everybody knows that God is working on them. And we came to Christ that he might clean us up, that he might put us on solid ground to be holy representatives of him on the earth. In the United States, in the state of Georgia, in the state of Alabama, in the city of Macon, in the city of Warner Robins, in the community that we live, wherever we go, hallelujah, people are watching the believers of God. How can a preacher stand in the pulpit and use profanity, profane language? We may say the word, I'm going to stop right here. I love God. I may have failed him time and time. Every now and then I fail God, but I love him like David. I accept the consequences of my failure, but I stand on the solid rock of my Savior. I stand on Christ, the solid rock.
Yes.
I stand on the blood-stained banner of Jesus.
Yes.
I stand before the cross where all the ground is level. I stand in the kingdom of God as a citizen of the kingdom of God with everybody else on this line that's a saint. Saints, I love you. I encourage you. And I pray that this chapter was an encouragement to you. Dr. Deb, I'm turning it over to you. I need to stop while I'm ahead. Lord, have mercy.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. The only thing I have to say is I encourage us as citizens of the kingdom to read Colossians chapter 3 that talks about living the new life. That's a cross reference for us tonight, living the new life. And another scripture I want to recommend that you read as well is 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. And Pastor Reggie, I'm going to just read these one or two verses in Colossians chapter 3. It says, beginning with verse number 12, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you." Again, he talks about expectations. "Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, agape love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Yes, we as disciples of Christ, as we walk in God's expectations for us as citizens of his kingdom,
We have been called to live the new life. We've been called to walk in God's expectations. So tonight, I pray that you have received many nuggets from Pastor Reggie's teaching on tonight as to what God expects from us as children of God, as disciples of Christ. Not put-ons, not pretenders, but being the real thing that our children can see, our grands can see, our nieces, our nephews can see. And most of all, what about those that are not even a part of the kingdom? They need to see it as well and cry out, how can I be saved? How can I walk in this love? How can I walk and seek the best for others no matter what, and to love my neighbor? Thank you all so much. Back over to you, Deacon Connor. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Dr. Dale, Pastor, Professor Reginald Kuiper. Amen. What a glorious walk. Amen. That's walking. That's a 5K. Amen, amen. Is the apostle on the line this evening? I guess not. Comments? Nuggets from anyone? Comments, nuggets? All has been said. That's a wonderful word. Oh, that was wonderful. My. Okay, if there are no comments or nothing to add, and we'll move on to praise reports. Today is Tuesday. We last heard each other on Sunday. So what has happened between Sunday and today that we need to praise God for? Come on now.
Just another day that the Lord has kept me.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Good evening again, everyone. Felicia had to leave, get offline and go to her grief counseling class. She wants to thank everyone for her prayers, and she say, continue to keep her in prayer, please. And she will be joining us on the line again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Are there others?
And your other message tonight? If something came to mind, we love each other as the church, but those who are not in the church, we must show love to them. I think it was kind of spoken similar to that tonight, but they must see Jesus in us, those out there, in order to say, I want to be a part of his kingdom. So, but I'd just like to say that, but thank God that I was able to, I had an appointment with a doctor, and my husband needs the same doctor, which he was going to the doctor before I started going. But his appointment, he couldn't get it until October 28th. And I thought about it. I have an appointment for next week. I said, well, I just called them to see if you can go first because you need it worse than I do. So I called, and he was able, thank God that they gave him my appointment and I got here because he needed it more than I did. But I just thank God that we were able to get that done.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes, that's love. That's love right there. That's love, that you go. You go, even though I got the appointment, even though I'm in line, even though mine is right now, you go. Hallelujah.
Yes.
What
God.
A mighty. Amen.
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 Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sister Susie. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Yeah, beautiful.
Anyone
Amen.
Else?
Good evening. I just want to share and just thank God for the opportunity. I know I shared it earlier with some others on the line that we had an opportunity to go and do ministry in Birmingham, Alabama this past weekend. Again, it was truly a blessing to go to the shelter there,
to be able to show this agape love, make others feel special, make them feel important, as well as share Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 28:19-20, and certainly 1 Corinthians 13. And as Pastor Reggie was walking through the night, you all, he poured out his heart. He poured out his heart, and he was very transparent on tonight. Yes. And I want us to pray for him when we do our prayer requests. And I want us to pray for him because he has studied, but he allowed the Holy Spirit to work in him and to lay some of his life before us on tonight so that we could come to Christ. He did just what Paul did. Paul said, I'll give it all up if my brothers and my sisters would come to Christ. And that's what he did on tonight. So I'm just thankful for that and his example that he showed us tonight and how the Lord blessed us there again in Birmingham. We were able to do 300-plus hygiene items there. But again, most of all, it was ministering to them. And one of the ladies called in and asked for prayer for us. So let us keep making a difference. Each one of us on this line, you are making a difference. And you are important to this line. We need you. So just thank you again and thank all of you for what you do. But just come into this line. You are important, and we certainly need you. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Connor.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, I wanted to ask you, does Loaves and Fishes take frozen goods?
Yes, we do, sir.
All right. All right. Got three.
Thank you.
And working on a bag of clothes. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Anyone else?
And like that, my cousin Rosella Weathers to the line. She's scheduled for heart surgery tomorrow.
Okay. I like to add myself. I have pre-op tomorrow and surgery on the 18th. So y'all lift me up in prayer for pre-op and the surgery. A lot of stuff happening in between. So, anyone else?
I'd like to add the Davis family for prayer.
Thank you. I would like to add my brother, Kevin Maxwell Jr. He's here. He's safe from St. Pete. So I'm glad that he made it here to Macon. And I also want to add myself and my family and my family that's still in Florida, that buckling in. I want to add them in prayer, too. Thank you.
My goodness.
Yes.
And also, I would like to add Felicia's son in the prayer. He just went back home last week. He lives in Orlando. Also, I have a half-sister that's in Miami. Her name is Gloria Jean. Keep her lifted up in prayer, too.
All right.
Yes.
Just another day.
Yes.
Anyone else? Okay, there's no one else. We move on to closing prayer. Sister Brenda Lupit Williams, will you take us to the throne of grace?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our Father.
Our Father.
Our Heavenly Father. We come today again being grateful, thanking you for your word. First of all, asking you your forgiveness for all my many sins, all my many shortcomings that I have not done as you've told me to do. I come today, Lord, lifting up Felicia Dozier. I come lifting up a son in Orlando. We lift him up right now in the name of Jesus for safety. We lift up Gloria Jean and for safety as well. We lift all the Floridians up,
yes,
up for safety, Lord.
Yes.
All those on the highway traveling this way, we lift them up to you for safety,
yes,
and protection. We lift them all up that they will have somewhere to stay. That they'll have the finances to stay where they need to stay. That they'll have some kindness among them. That someone will bless them with food and shelter. We lift them up to you today.
Yes, yes, Lord.
You come, Lord. Lifting up Rosella Weathers. You know, Rosella has been under the knife several times. But we lift her up to you. We know she's in your kind hands. We lift up Pastor Kiefer. We lift up Pastor Deb.
Yes.
Yes, we lift up both these pastors as they deliver the word through the Book of Romans. We thank you for the Book of Romans that it helps us to see ourselves. We thank you that we can look at our Romans and see what we need to perfect on. See what we need forgiveness on. See what we need to be better on, to live more like you. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
We lift up our dear brother Deacon Clarence Connor.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We lift him up right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We lift up him as he is scheduled for surgery, Lord.
Yes.
You and you alone know how to heal this brother.
Lord.
We lift him up and we put him in your kind hands that you would protect him and that you would heal his body. So we're going to go ahead and start thanking you for the healing right now.
Thank you, God.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift up the David family.
Yes, Lord.
We lift them up right now. Also, I want to put the Knight family on there, the Edward Knight family. We lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up Calvin Maxwell. We thank you that he was able to travel safely to it.
Thank you, Jesus.
We lift him up, Lord. We lift him up. We just see all so many. We see a caravan of people on the highway going from the city, from the state. We see confusion among the politicians. About the situation. We lift him up as well, Lord. We lift him up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need some help. Along this line. So, Lord, right now we're going to just go ahead and praise you. We're going to thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In spite of the storm coming our way, we're going to thank you anyhow.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to know that it's going to be taken care of, whether the cities have been destroyed or not, that they can be rebuilt. So we're going to go ahead and say thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for things as well as they are. We give you praises and we give you thanks in the most precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Williams. Thank you so much. Amen, amen. And we wish to thank everybody that's been on the line tonight. We want to thank those that were on the line that dialed in tonight just to listen to our walk in the Word. We want to thank our prayer warriors, Deacon Everett Henderson, Sister Brenda Lou Britt Williams. We want to thank Sunshine Dudley for her prayers. And most of all, we want to thank the dynamic duo of Dr. Deborah Singleton and Pastor Professor Regina Kuiper for a terrific walk in the Word. We thank you and we love you. That's it for tonight.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
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 Good night.
Love you all.
Happy birthday to you.
And may God give you many more Minister Singleton. We love you.
Yeah.
Y'all have a blessed night. Good night.
Good night.
Mom, where y'all girls at?
Huh?
Where my girls at? Mom, Maddie, Aria, where y'all at?
What?
Well, I'm here.
I'm going to go put Jake to bed. I'll call you, Mom. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, look, I called Tina after I talked to you. I did, I did talk to Virginia.
Okay, all right.
But Tina's supposed to call you.
Okay. Have they got her in the room yet?
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.